Mr. Mwangi.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Honorable Judges, Counsel. May it please the Court. I am counsel for Jeffrey Mago, the petitioner in this case, and we ask that the Court reverse the Board's decision affirming the immigration judge's decision denying asylum and withholding of removal. My client was persecuted in Albania. He fled, came to the United States, jumped the border at Brownsville, Texas, was apprehended by the former INS, placed in removal proceedings, and applied for asylum and withholding of removal. And the immigration judge denied his application. The board affirmed, saying that my client had not demonstrated that he faced any danger that was unique to him and was not the general danger faced by the general population in Albania. The record shows that my client, before the immigration judge, testified that he had been threatened by a neighbor who hounded him, told him that he would kill him, in fact pointed a gun at him and tried to shoot at him, missing him by a few feet. The immigration judge found that the testimony was not credible, although there isn't a specific adverse credibility determination. The board agreed with the immigration judge's findings and affirmed
two fairly significant different versions of that incident with the neighbor.
That is correct, Judge Evans, and I didn't represent my client in front of the immigration judge, and my review of the record suggests to me that perhaps the preparation of the application might be the genesis of the differences. Yes, indeed, there are inconsistencies between the written application and the oral testimony. My take on it is that it is possible that my client and his prior counsel may have misunderstood each other. Indeed, in front of the immigration judge, prior counsel admitted he had hearing problems. During the hearing before the immigration judge, there were problems with the interpreter, forcing the immigration judge to continue the hearing, but eventually my client was examined, cross-examined, and his oral testimony, in my opinion, and reviewing the record, held up pretty well. And the board has held that oral testimony usually should trump the written application, because when an applicant for asylum testifies orally, it gives the IJ, it gives the government an opportunity to cross-examine him and verify which version is more accurate. In this case, his oral testimony.
Of course, the alternative understanding is that the written application reveals what actually happened, and the oral application and the oral testimony reveals what counsel said would help him get asylum.
That is possible, Judge Easterbrook, and as an alternative, it is possible that that is true, but because he is available, he is cross-examined by the IJ, who has occasion to clarify what actually happened, and in this case, the government has its counsel present cross-examining the applicant, and he holds up pretty well in the record. My instinct is to believe the oral version as opposed to the written application, because as I said earlier, counsel who assisted prepare it admits to hearing problems. We don't know that when prior counsel prepared that written application, there was an interpreter. And when this gentleman testifies in front of the immigration judge, there is an interpreter, albeit at some point at the beginning, the interpreter was not that good, but eventually he has a good interpreter. And so my inclination is
I'm
to believe.
I'm not sure why we are spending much time on this, though, or indeed while your brief spent much time on it, because the Board of Immigration Appeals' decision doesn't rest on credibility. It rests on the finding that even if the second tale is true, it's not persecution.
Your Honor, the Board, in ruling as it does, is really going back on its own holdings, because the Board has held that general strife and conflict in a country does not negate a person's claim for asylum. Yes, there was general strife in Albania, but that does not negate someone coming from Albania and claiming a well-founded fear of persecution. The question is reviewing the person's claim.
If I understand what the Board was saying, it was saying that even if everything he said on the stand at the hearing is true, it is not itself persecution. He was shot at by a neighbor, but can't say it was because he was a member of the Democratic Party. And his other story is that he didn't get employment, he didn't get governmental employment on that account. But that amounts to, so far as I can see, political patronage. Right? Albania has not followed Elrod against Burns in thinking that parties cannot disfavor their adversaries. Is failure to follow Elrod against Burns political persecution? Is political patronage the same thing as persecution?
Your Honor, you asked me two questions. To your first question, whether or not the Board's saying it's not persecution should rule, well, the Board can commit errors, and in this instance...
Just address my question. My concrete question is political patronage the same thing as persecution under American law? You support the opposing party in an election. The winners favor their own adherents for public employment. Is that persecution under American law?
No, it is not, Your Honor, but you asked me two specific questions, and I started out to answer the first question you asked. The Board held it is not persecution, but based that on facts that include, among other things, the patronage issue. It's not the only issue, Your Honor. There are other issues. The neighbor shot at him because he's a member of the Democratic Party as an organizer. Yes, the Board may disagree about that fact, but it is a fact in the record, and I don't believe that just because the Board says it is not, therefore it is not. The Board may disagree, and I respectfully disagree with them, but it is possible that the neighbor shot at this man because he's a member of the Democratic Party, and there's enough evidence in this record to support his contention.
And then did your client went to the police after the shooting incident, is that right?
That is correct, Judge Williams.
But as to the beating incident, he never went to the police, and so one of the questions we have to deal with is what state action, you know, how was the state involved in this?
Your Honor,
he never reported it.
Your Honor, the first time he went to the police declined to investigate. Someone who has got nothing from the police reasonably has a reason not to expect anything the second time around. And that's not an unreasonable reaction to police inaction. I see that my time has run. If no other questions from the court.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Martin.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Will Martin, and I represent the respondent, the Attorney General. This case is about two factual determinations made by the Attorney General, and the standard of review for this court as it considers the case. The two questions cited, the two factual determinations decided by the court, are whether or not there was past persecution on account of the political opinion of Mr. Ego, and also whether or not he possesses a well-founded fear of future persecution based on political opinion. This court recognizes that such factual determinations are reviewed for substantial evidence. This court's case in Mitev points to the Elias Zacharias case. And therefore, unless the administrative record compels a different conclusion as to whether or not there is past persecution or the well-founded fear of future persecution, denial of the petition for review is the appropriate disposition. I'd like to note, as in terms of dealing with the facts, Mr. Ego had three opportunities to present his case to the Attorney General. The first was when he was apprehended at the border, and he described his reason for leaving Albania. It was described there as civil unrest. And then before the immigration judge, and the third time in the brief to the board, and the immigration judge and the board had the opportunity to hear the claims as for the basis for asylum. The first question facing the Attorney General was whether or not this was mere harassment or persecution. And in terms of guidance for dealing with that, the appropriate standards have to do with the frequency and the severity of the persecution. What Mr. Ego described here is consistent with what was described in cases such as Dandan and Zaliga, and also Begzatowski, Dandan and Zaliga, where the court affirmed the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals. In Begzatowski, the court noted what it is that, what events might bring mistreatment from being mere harassment up to from mere harassment to persecution, and the events as described by Mr. Ego really only include beatings as one of the items. The other items listed were detention, arrest, interrogation, prosecution, imprisonment, illegal searches, confiscation of property, surveillance, beatings, and torture. Now, obviously, those aren't exclusive, but in terms of guidance by this court as to what is the, what it is, how it is the Attorney General is to draw the line between what is harassment and what is persecution, that case there certainly does not compel and does not push the line, or push this case across the line into persecution. The State Department reports, there are two sets that are a part of the administrative record. They describe the situation in Albania that is a matter of lawlessness and civil unrest, and they do not point to and do not emphasize the persecution for political opinion. So the question is, on these facts, must persecution be found? The second question that the Attorney General had to consider was whether petitioner had a well-founded fear of persecution. The evidence here that's most interesting is the evidence about petitioner's movement in and out of the country, and also his behavior. He claims to be an organizer, and that might be one means by which he could be singled out, and he might be set apart as a reason why the government would be interested in persecuting him. But other than his conclusory statement, bald assertion that he was an organizer, there's no evidence in the record to say that he was. The letter from the Democratic Party leader in Albania describing the attack simply describes Mr. Ego as a member of the Democratic Party. His behavior leaving the country 7 months before and being out of the country during the time of the election certainly calls into question whether or not he was an organizer, as he claimed to be.
Yeah, but he said that he left because of these threats, and so times got hot and he left, but he came back, which he says is evidence of his commitment to the Democratic Party and the ability to organize.
That's a plausible understanding. The immigration judge and the board found that the evidence pointed the other direction, and I don't think that it's compelling evidence the assertion that he makes and that interpretation of those events, I certainly would not say is compelling. So I acknowledge that, but I don't think it's a strong.
Is it right though that the Democratic Party was in power at the time he left?
I don't actually know the answer to that question. There was
I thought they were in power until
the 97 election.
They lost the election and he came back when the socialists.
That's my understanding. I can't verify what that's true. The State Department reports would say that, and I can check that for Your Honor. But that's my belief. But I can't say categorically that that's true. I'd like to address a few of the comments, arguments that counsel made as far as sorting out between the two accounts of the attack by the neighbor. It seems like the very difficulty of sorting out and choosing between those is why those decisions are left to the fact finder, in this case the Attorney General, and the immigration judge and the board are in the best position to sort those things out. And so, again, absent compelling evidence that one account is to be believed over the other, again, that's the line to be drawn by the Attorney General. The other point I would make is with regard to the report to the police. I do not believe that the record has any information as to whether or not the police actually did do an investigation. Mr. Ago stated that he reported it and then said that, well, the police never investigate those sorts of things. And he doesn't give any kind of evidence that he followed up or he asked questions or that the record is just has no information as to whether or not there was follow-up or there was an actual investigation. If there are no questions from the court, then just ask that the court deny the petition for review.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. Anything further,
no,
Mr. Morton?
No.
All right, well, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.